Hey, this is Steve from Lifter Puller, and you're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
He shaved his head at the airport, in a bar at the end of the concourse. Said you're kind of catching me at a transitional time, I'm a bright light burning into a dark horse. She said I'll strap on the saddle, and I'm sorry but the city's a cesspool. I've kissed and I've cackled with half of these jackals, still couldn't get any jet fuel.
We got bored. So we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We're your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and they just went to Denver. I don't know if they wanted to shave their head at the airport or they wanted to see the birthplace of the Coors Party Ball. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic. And I can talk hold steady all night. And when I talk hold steady heavy, I like to throw up the rat signal. And just like that, the Hood Rat Pack has assembled. Hark! And all that pomp and circumstance is only befitting of one man. It's got to be the unified scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. But you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me Bruce Wayne.
Why is that, Gasper?
Because I'm Batman.
Oh, how's that working out for you?
Not so good. Not so good at all. People keep calling me Ralph Hanley.
Believe it. Oh. Crickets. Yeah. Crickets. Only like two listeners, like maybe half a listener's going to know who that is.
I don't know what's worse, the reference or the I'm Batman, which is just god-awful. Like, I don't know. That wasn't even Val Kilmer Batman. I'm not sure who that was supposed to be. Wasn't Adam West? Wasn't George Clooney? Wasn't George Michael Clooney Keaton? Wasn't Christian Bale? Like,
I'm trying, man. It was just Batman Day. We got to stay on topic.
Yeah, I know. I know all about Batman Day, and I'm very proud to support Batman Day. But literally between the terrible I'm Batman and the most obscure greatest American hero reference, like, what would you go on Amazon Prime and say, what dumb shit could I watch today? And that's what you chose because it's free right now. Next time, choose Baywatch because I'd rather you make a Baywatch reference.
And that's the sound of our third mic and our producer, Kevin is whenever. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing much better than our listeners because sadly they're going to have to deal with that. I'm going to forget that right away. So I hope they can be like me and be like a goldfish and just forget immediately what that Freddie Knuckles was.
Well, guys, why are we arguing? We've been away forever, and now...
I know. That's what I was going to say. It's good to be back. We haven't been in a room together for a couple of weeks. Everybody's schedule's been nuts and manic, and, you know, I know we had a couple of shows come up. I know there's some things we can, you know, reflect on, so let's kind of get into it.
Yeah, man. So we actually have a great interview today. We our very own Hurricane Jess is back. But before we get to her, our buddy Chase from Denver sent us a speak pipe, and let's hear what he's got to say.
Good morning to everybody in the unified scene. This is Chase calling in with a bleary Sunday morning scene report after a brilliant weekend in my hometown of Denver, Colorado. And by the way, Mike, Gasper, and Kevin, we've never met, but we've sort of worked together before. I'm the guy who recommended Diamonds in the Drain being reworked from having one song off the podium to featuring just the first three albums, then the middle three albums. And I'm looking forward to Diamonds in the Drain Champions League one day. So thanks for taking the note. So everybody knows about the Twin Cities in Brooklyn, but there's plenty of Hold Steady connections to Denver and Colorado, too. At the Saturday soundcheck, Craig came up with around 10 just off the top of his head. And in fact, the Bluebird Theater, where this weekend's shows took place, sits right on Colfax Avenue, the location of that Colfax Cookout and Entitlement crew. So while these may not be hometown shows, there's something that felt really special about them. So night one, Thursday, was Craig's birthday. And the crowd came ready to party with formal wear, party hats, and a giant 5-3 balloon. The band opened appropriately with Denver Haircut, and night one only featured two songs from The Price of Progress, Understudies and Sideways Skull, but Sideways Skull was a huge highlight. During the song, a fan pulled out a homemade flag made from a bedsheet and emblazoned with a sideways skull, lopsided pentagram, and the words The Price of Progress in black marker. Craig took it on stage and asked to keep it, and it made a return appearance on stage later in the weekend. Some of the songs from Thursday's setlist that were one-offs for the weekend included You Can't Make 'Em Like You, Sweet Part of the City, Don't Let Me Explode, and Charlemagne in Sweatpants, before closing the main set list with Sowtown Girls and Resurrection back-to-back. The encore was Positive Jam, Constructive Summer, Girls Like Status, and of course, Killer Parties. Thursday's birthday party was a wonderful, unique experience and set the tone for a great weekend. Friday night. I'm sorry to report that it feels like Open Door Policy songs are falling out of the set list, with only Family Farm making an appearance on Friday night. And I'm personally a big fan of that album. Carlos is Crying and Sixers popped up from the new album. And to my great delight, the band played Spinners and On With The Business. Teeth Dreams is back, baby. Craig had family at the show, and he taught his niece and nephew how to tag a backstage wall. So if you're backstage at the Bluebird and see Poop Dog scrawled on the wall, you know who did it. Certainly the only show I've ever been to where a Poop Dog chant broke out in the audience. Blackout Sam, Most People Are DJs, and Confusion in the Marketplace all made appearances. And Craig changed the lyrics to Stevie Nicks to be 53 forever in light of his birthday the day before. For the encore, we got certain songs, Ask Her for Adderall, Chips Ahoy, and the standard show closer, Killer Parties. The energy in the room was amazing on Friday. The confetti, the crowd, everything was unbelievable. Maybe it's just a personal thing, since that was the night my wife came to the show with me, but as unique as the Thursday birthday party was, this was the show of the weekend for me. Finally, we closed out the weekend on Saturday night, kicking off the final show with Price of Progress Colorado shout-out, Grand Junction. Greg gave a special shout-out to the youngsters in the front section and the devoted entitlement crew, scratch that, cleaning crew, who stay and sweep up the mountain of confetti. Fans of the Hold Steady are really devoted and a unique community, as we all know. Something Craig acknowledged with a bit of a sing-along on We Can Get Together, and a special performance of Cheyenne Sunrise dedicated to a unified senior celebrating his 40th birthday at the show that night. We got Ascension Blues, You Gotta Dance, Heavy Covenant, Spices, and a shout-out to the Woo Crew before Unpleasant Breakfast. Hey, maybe I was wrong in my analysis about Open Door Policy. Anyway, Perdido and Death of the Punchline featured from the new record, along with the return of the Sideways Skull fan bedsheet flag from night one. We closed out the main set list with Slapped Actress, and then an encore of The Feelers, Party Pit, Chicago Seemed Tired Last Night, and a final rendition of Killer Parties, where I watched Galen guide a young girl in the front row in playing the final bass strands of the song as it came to a dizzying end. We were all up to our necks in sweat and wet confetti, exhausted and elated. Now, my personal quest to catch Sweet Pain live is still ongoing, but if you always got to hear every song you wanted to, there wouldn't be any reason to keep going to the shows. I'll see you guys around. Thanks for listening. Thanks for understanding. Stay positive, everybody.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like Chase really had a good time in Denver, and it sounds like the scene really came together. Maybe Denver is going to become one of the new hotspots of weekend Hold Steady Fests.
Actually, that was talked about, too. From what I understand, they are considering making that a regular spot. So I'm looking to make that a visit myself.
You know, there's more to vacation than just where Hold Steady plays. I want you to know that. Seems like you're like, hey, maybe I'll go to Denver because, you know, if Hold Steady plays Dubuque, Iowa, it's really not that exciting. I'll just tell you that.
Heather reminds me of that all the time.
Okay, so we just heard from Chase, who lives in Denver. But now we're going to hear back from one of our favorite guests, Hurricane Jess, who came over the ocean, and she describes what it's like to go to an American show when she's used to going to UK shows. I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was great to listen to what Jess had to say, even though I couldn't be a part of that interview due to my schedule. But you guys knocked it out of the park. And I will say, Jess is becoming one of our repeat guests, too. She's got two under her belt, and this was a fun listen.
Don't forget, she did our podcast art, The Three Hood Rats. She's the artist for that. So let's not forget that.
All right, let's jump into her interview. So we want to welcome back Hurricane Jess to the podcast. Thanks so much for joining us again. How you been?
Yeah, good. I'm hoping that you can now finally, I think the last time I was on here, the title of the podcast was like Hurricane J never really made it that far west, and now I have. So I'm guessing the name of the, hopefully, you know.
Now she has made it that far west. That's the title.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But yeah, oh my God. I don't even know. I don't even know where to start. I don't want to be I don't want to, you know, upset the London gang, and I don't want to upset the U.S. contingent. I feel like this is going to be controversial.
Let's do it. We're all about the controversy. Let's do it.
We were talking before you came on, and I remember that you keep the Denver boarding pass on your phone case. So I know you're partial to Denver, right?
Well, yeah, it's
still there.
It's weird. I got this a few years ago now. Just because I saw it, I think I saw it advertised online that you can get like fake plane tickets put on your phone. So it's all Hold Steady themed. It's like Denver and it has Hurricane J on it. And the like the seat is B12 and the flight is HS-212 and things like that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Cool. But so you could customize all of it actually. But
that's really cool.
On the date, I put August 24 and then I actually did end up going in August 2024, so I think I kind of maybe manifested this this little trip.
That's awesome.
It all worked out perfectly. But I have wanted to go to Denver for ages, so it all just my poor boyfriend, we were talking about going to Denver on holiday and doing like a Colorado-Utah road trip in the distant kind of future. And then suddenly the whole city announced they were playing a show in Denver, you know, a few months later. And I was like, right, this means we have to do it, right? Like, you know, this is a sign. We have to go right now. And he was like, whoa. Like, this is just a vague concept. And now suddenly we're booking flights. But yeah, it was amazing.
I know. Heather reminds me that she's like, you know, every vacation doesn't have to be centered around the Hold Steady, right? Yeah. I was trying to convince her for London next year already. I'm like, yeah, we can make it a family thing.
just you know, that can come later. You can just plan a family London holiday, and then it just happens. Oh, you know what? I think the whole city might be playing. I just didn't even know.
So Jess, you're gushing about it. Let's hear all the details. So about your flying in to Denver. Let's hear it. Let's what how start from the beginning.
I got in at 4 p.m. I hadn't got a ticket. This was on the Thursday evening. I hadn't got a ticket because I didn't know if I would be still, you know.
You drove in. You flew into across the ocean, and you didn't even have a ticket to the Hold Steady. Yeah.
Well, I had a ticket to the Friday night, but because of flying in, I didn't know if I would be able to handle, you know, flying in at 4 p.m. and then going for open, you know, doors opening at 7 p.m. But I obviously did, because why would, you know, you're like, it just felt wrong. Like they're right there and I'm right there. How could I not? So I was literally on the plane waiting for it to take off. And I was like, messaging Bill Taney on Facebook because he said he had a spare ticket, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it, I think I'm gonna be okay, and was like trying to PayPal him before the flight took off and stuff. And then yeah, so I got in at 4 p.m got into the hotel, showered, like threw some dinner down, and then went over straight to the venue, which was on Colfax Avenue, and all the Uber drivers were a bit like, why are you going out here? Like, this isn't really like a tourist hotspot. It's like a little bit dodgy. You know, I didn't know if like I really want to be leaving you here at night. And I was like, no, it's fine. It's all cool. I mean, the whole steady crew here, like I probably know like 30 people in the building. And they were all a bit like, okay. None of them wanted to actually leave me there, which is quite funny.
He doesn't understand you have a whole unified scene waiting for you.
Yeah, and it's like a weird concept to explain. Like, even my mum was like, so, are you going on your own? Like, you're not, Chris isn't going with you. And I was like, no, I know all the gang. Like, it'll all be fine. She's like, but you don't know anyone. You've never been there, blah, blah. But, you know, no one gets it. You don't get it until you've been there. But, yeah. So met up at a little bar beforehand with Bill and his friends, and then went in, and immediately it is weird going to a city you've never been to, and you walk into the Bluebird Theatre and suddenly there's like 30 people that you do know, and it's like it's just bizarre. Like, there's no other experience. Like, I don't think there's anything else where you could experience something like that.
It's kind of almost like going to a wedding, because you walk in and you start meeting all the people you haven't seen in years, but you know them well. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. So yeah, I immediately saw the Woo Crew, you know, Mike from Roanoke, because he stands out like a sore thumb.
Yes, he does.
The venue was, I didn't, because obviously I'm used to the Electric Ballroom, it's just a massive, you know, floor. But the Bluebird's all tiered. And I was thinking, how's this going to work? Because, you know, the crowd's going to be like pushing around and people are going to be like moshing. Blah, 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 blah. How's this going to work? But obviously I knew there were expectations of the American crowd being slightly less rowdy, which I was thinking about the whole time. I was like, what's this going to be like? But it was actually, it was really comfortable. Like, everyone was really into it. It's not like people weren't enjoying themselves. They're absolutely loving it. But I could actually like move. There was airflow around me. It was the most bizarre feeling ever. I was thinking, hang on, I should be struggling for air at this point, you know, when the crowd's starting to fill in. But I wasn't. There was loads of space. You could like move around. It was amazing. Anyway, so I missed the support act, but I came in like before the band came on. And yeah, linked up with the Woo Crew and everyone who was right at the front, and then they came on and just immediately started blasting Denver Haircut, which was wow. An ideal first start to seeing them in Denver in the US for the first time.
So I hadn't realized this is the first time you're seeing them in the US.
Yeah, because I'm kind of a bit of a noob. Like, I only saw them the first time in, I think it was 2021 in London.
Okay.
So, yeah, I haven't had that much chance to get over there. But, yeah, so this is the first time I've ever seen them in the U.S.
So what were the – so you noted, you said you had more air, more space around you. What did you notice – was there any other differences you noticed between a U.S. crowd and a London crowd?
That's a good question. Wait, let me have a think. Because I was mainly just concerned about, like, how much space – I was just in shock that I could really, you know, breathe and move around a little bit. There was definitely less – there was less bouncing around. Like, it was more everyone was in their own little area, you know, and they were staying still. And they were, like, you know, people, like, screaming the lyrics like we all do and, like, dancing right. around. But people stayed still. There wasn't that, like – you know,
right.
wave movement that you get where you'll start like right almost on the barrier and you'll end up like two songs later right at the back, and then another song later you're like right at the front again in the UK. But there was none of that. But obviously that's also got to do with the like tiered the venue. Right.
So the venue's kind of set up like an old movie theater basically, where there's the different levels just without the seats.
Yeah, so there's like the floor area right at the front, and then there were probably like four or five tiers that went up, and then the bar was at the back.
Okay.
And there were like railings between the tiers as well, so you could only get down to the front of the pit, as I would call it, through these two sets of stairs, kind of either side. So it was a totally gotcha. Different experience, really, from seeing them in London. But it was brilliant. I didn't even. You know, once they start playing, you just don't think about it. You're just in the zone and everyone's your friend and it doesn't matter where you are.
right.
But it did feel weird. And it felt weird as well not having the usual gang, because every time I've been with the same, like, you know, five people. And so it felt a bit weird that, you know, Rob and Ben and Norm and all those guys weren't there, because they're like, you know, they're always there. So I did miss that. But other than that, it was just being in a room full of, like, your best friends who you never met before, really, the same as any other, you know, whole city show.
Yeah, is there any songs that you were happy to hear that night, that first night?
The first night set was really, really good. Like, I think also the excitement of it being the first night, you're like, every song that comes on, you're like, yeah, this is a banger, blah, blah, blah. But there was a really good run in the middle for me, which was Banging Camp, Sweet Part, Only Thing. Oh my god, when they started playing Only Thing, I was like almost crying, because I'm a big Teeth Dream, Justice for Teeth Dreams advocate.
All right.
And I have never heard the Only Thing before, I don't think I have. I might have heard it once, but yeah, so that run, Banging Camp, Sweet Part, Only Thing, Sapphire, Don't Let Me Explode, Stop Between Stations, Charlemagne, was just like bam, 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 bam. Like, it was just like, oh my god, all the bangers are coming out.
I'm jealous. That sounds amazing.
It was incredible. And Charlemagne as well, like, they did like a really funky version of it, which was cool. But yeah, hearing The Only Thing, there were definitely some feels there for hearing The Only Thing. That was amazing.
That's something we've been looking for too, is the Teeth Dream stuff. It's rumored that they're going to do an all Teeth Dream set at this year's Massive Nights. And you've started to see some of these songs make their way back into the set, almost like they're getting familiar with them again. Yeah. So when you see them, it's amazing. And I'm hoping we see a lot more of that, because there are a lot of good songs.
Franz has to learn them. He wasn't even on the original albums.
And in some cases, add parts that never existed. Yeah.
I wish we could get something like they did for Heaven Is Whenever, like a re-recording with every...
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you did.
Oh, if they do like a whole playthrough of Teeth Dreams at Massive Nights and I'm not there, I'm going to have a massive tantrum. But they said, I think it came up as a question in London at one of the sound checks, saying, you know, is it going to be an anniversary type thing like you did for Heaven Is Whenever? And they said, probably, like, there's not much we can do with it, because what's on the album is what there was. And there weren't a bunch of B-sides that we didn't put on, or, you know, we weren't thinking, oh my God, we've recorded like 30 amazing songs and these are just the ones that, you know, made the album. And I was like, that was it. It was just the album. But there's got to be something. It was so funny on the night. Like, people were in Denver. People had these like Justice for Teeth Dreams temporary tattoos on.
Oh wow!
So there's definitely the demand. Like, we want to celebrate Teeth Dreams. I'm tired of it being Craig's child in the basement who he doesn't like, you know, as he put it. So I think there's definitely people definitely want it. If any of them are listening, please do something.
Now, another thing from that show is that was the show where it's coming right off of Craig's birthday, right? So there was the big banner that someone made.
There was a banner. There were little like happy birthday, you know, card cutout things that everyone was holding up. A whole massive part of the audience were in prom wear, so there were like bow ties and like ruffly, you know, shirts, beautiful prom dresses. It was, you know, it was a proper turnout for his birthday. And we all sang happy birthday. I can't remember when it was. I don't know if it was when they first came out or when it was in the encore or something, but there was a happy birthday chorus for him. And there were also 53 balloons getting smashed around the crowd, which was fun.
And the banner was the Price of Progress banner, right?
The flag, which was really cool. And he was like, can I keep this? It's so cool. So they took it off the stage with them, and God knows what they've done with it. But there were also, I can't remember what day it was, but there was a lot of the crowd like interaction stuff. So like berets were thrown at the mention of Mary Tyler Moore. What else? There were other things. I'm trying to think what they were. It was actually really funny because, you know, we all have the confetti. Actually, I think this was on the Saturday night, but TK had obviously, like, and Kyle, it was his 40th birthday, and I think you've probably seen it on the whole city, posted all about, like, it's Kyle's 40th birthday, blah, blah, blah. But they had brought, like, the giant, most ginormous box of confetti you've ever seen, like a ridiculous amount, too much for, like, 100 Hold Steady shows. So it was all being passed out, so, like, everyone have access to the confetti, which is exactly what you want. But especially TK was getting so angry because people kept throwing it as soon as it was handed to them, because maybe they didn't realize when you were supposed to throw it. And the amount of, no, not yet, no, stop it. And like, it got to the point where like there was just random, like people just throwing confetti at random places, not in the proper places. And all the, obviously, people who go to too many of these shows are like, right, you need to stop throwing the confetti now. I'm serious. Stop it. You know, there's a time and place for this, and this is not the time and place. Everyone was getting so mad. It was hilarious. Me included. I was also mad. But it's just such a funny thing, like how serious we all as grown adults are about when our confetti is, right?
Sometimes premature confetti, it just happens. You don't know why, but it just happens.
That's true. You know, you've got to be understanding that you can't always, you can't always do anything about it.
So then did you go to the sound check before night two or?
No, I actually was not on it at all. I only did Thursday and Friday night.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to have to get someone in to give you the down low on Saturday and the sound checks.
So what was Friday night like? Any highlights from there?
Oh my God, wait, hang on. Give me a second. I've literally marked up the set list, so I...
Wow, professionally.
Professionally. Okay, so yeah, Saturday night might have been even better. It was insane. So it opened with Hornets, which for me is, Hornets might be my favorite Hold Steady song. So that's, they do open it with it a lot, but it's, as soon as I hear that beginning bit,
it's that's just beginning like the song, I think. Yeah.
And the whole crowd, I think, the energy was even more, it was packed on Saturday. I started to feel a bit more at home on Friday night. It was packed on Friday night. I started to feel a bit more at home because it was like, it was a bit like squished. and everyone was going, oh great, you're feeling your element now, it's going to be busy and packed, blah blah blah. But yeah, so the first four songs on Friday night were, it was just like it was the hype upset. So it was Hornets, Constructive Summer, Cattle and the Creeping Things, Party Pit. So it was like bam 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 bam, just to get everyone like really excited. We also had Stevie Nicks with 53 Forever for Craig.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Which was fun. Yeah, you probably saw that on the Instagram and stuff. But that was really fun. And we got Spinners, another Teeth Dreams highlight. As soon as it started out, I don't know, just, you know, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house whenever something from Teeth Dreams, well, if you're on the right side of the Teeth Dreams debate, you know, gets very exciting when Teeth Dreams comes on. Wait, am I even in a safe space right now? What are you, what team are you two on?
I love Teeth Dreams.
Yeah, I've always loved Teeth Dreams. I never understood why people were down on it. It's not like the other records, but it's its own record. The night that they dropped Teeth Dreams, they played Bowery Ballroom, and there was like a listening party, and it was awesome. And people loved it that night. And then for whatever reason, it got all the shade. I've never understood that. But now you have people clamoring for it. So it's been redeemed in my eyes.
Yeah, we're both hoping they play it in Brooklyn. We're like, yeah. So the whole album.
And then once I'm off the call, you two will go back to being like, I hate Teeth Dreams.
No.
I don't think there's any Hold Steady that any of us hate. Like, it's that's why when we do the Diamonds in the Drain game, it really is hard, because you love every single one of these songs. It's just putting them in order.
It is funny hearing people argue about like their least favorite Hold Steady album, and like, oh, you know, X, Y, or Z, like it's the worst one, it's got this and this and it's all blah blah, but then they're like, but I love them, I love it all, I still love it better than literally any other music that's not the Hold Steady. It's just you know, it's so funny, all the backtracking that happens.
And so, like you pointed out, Party Pit is number four on this set, which there's been a long-standing joke on the podcast with Mike that they only ever play Party Pit in the first five songs. But unfortunately, you weren't at the last night. But Mike, you got your wish that you've been waiting for all this time. So maybe they've been listening. They played Party Pit in an encore
on Saturday night. That's my white whale. I wish I should have been at that show, man. I would have loved to hear Party Pit in the encore. I've never, ever got it. You know, it's always fourth, fifth, sixth. Yeah. Wow.
It would be a great encore song.
Yeah.
I mean, the good news is they released that show on Bandcamp, so you can listen to it. You just won't be there.
Yeah. I was so sad because I was like hanging out with the Woo crew the whole weekend pretty much. And then I missed when they finally played Unpleasant Breakfast. And right.
There was actually a big moment.
Like said everyone's names and said this one's for you. It's like,
so yeah, they shouted out the whole Woo crew, like Mike and Buddy and Allison and like all of them. I thought that was pretty cool. I know they were very excited about it too.
Yeah, there were loads of shout outs throughout the weekend. Like I feel like the whole vibe was very much it felt like you were in the like inner circle of hold steady, you know, steady fans. Because yeah, it was like Kyle's 40th, so Kyle got shouted out, and they played just on the Saturday. Was it Cheyenne Sunrise? I think maybe
they did play that on Saturday. Yeah,
that was dedicated to him for his 40th, and he had his daughter with him as well, which was so cool to see. Like a little girl, I think she must be like, I don't know how old she is, maybe like 10 or 11, but like right at the front of the pit, not getting like totally, you know,
wow,
squished, but just having the best time ever, which was really cool to see.
All right, so now having seen a show in the States and the show in the, so which do you prefer? Which
here comes the controversy.
Yeah, why are you going to ask me this? This is like the worst question ever. Obviously, London is like, the Weekender is my home turf. So I know, I like know way more people. I like, you know everyone there. I've got like my core best buddies there. And we have our rituals. So it feels like a pilgrimage, basically, like in London. It's like, it's the traditional.
Right.
We always do the same things and we always, you know, see the same people, which I love about it. But there was something really special about seeing them in the US, and meeting all these new people was really cool. Like loads of people that I had never met before, you know, probably made like 20 new, like really good friends there who were all hopefully coming to London in March. And
nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have to say, like, London is still, you know, my place. I've got to, you know.
That's fair.
That's just, I can't say that it isn't, but I really want to go. I'm hoping they make Denver, like, a more of a annual thing, because everyone there was just so into it, loved it.
It was awesome. That's something that came up, too, right? I think, because the rumors are that they are looking to make it an annual stop. It hadn't been, but I think someone had said that they at one of the things Craig mentioned, he wants to make it an annual stop, which would be, I'm kind of hoping for, because I'd like to go to Denver myself. It's one of the few places I haven't been yet.
So. It would make sense because he's got a lot of family there. And I remember in a recording of a Denver show, like they, all the band, like Tad and Steve and everyone were saying like, we like, oh guys, we should just move here. Like we love Denver so much, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, fingers crossed. I'd like to go back as well.
Cool.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So the next step of this whole little experiment of ours is we have to get you to Massive Nights. Now.
Yes, everyone was saying that. Like, how have you not been to Massive Nights? Why have you come to Denver? We've been to Massive Nights, blah, 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 blah. So I definitely need to get that in. There's no way it will be this year, but maybe 2025 will be the year.
All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah.
Across the ocean, you had a totally different experience. You went to, I hear you went to the Craig Finn show.
Oh yeah, I did literally just last night, and I went to Nottingham on Sunday night and London last night.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which was definitely a totally different vibe, but really awesome.
Now, have you seen him solo before?
Yes, I've seen him a few times. Yeah, every time he's been here, I've seen him. So probably like a 2 or 3 or 4 other times, I think maybe.
Okay.
But this one was different.
Just so that we're all the on the same page, that's September 8th is the Nottingham show, right?
Yeah, all the sets were the same, so it doesn't matter which one, really.
Oh, were they?
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, at least the two I went to were the same.
Oh, that's interesting, huh, because this is Assembly Hall. Oh, look at that, you're right.
So I've seen them a few times. The first time was with a full band, so that was more full band energy. And then last year he did a tour, which was, it was more like an evening with Craig, so he obviously played a lot of all his solo stuff and told stories in between. And this tour was even more so, like felt like a kind of evening with. There was a lot of talking between songs and telling stories behind the songs, which is really nice actually. And Kathleen Edwards was supporting, who is incredible. Everyone went was wild, like in the crowd was totally obsessed, you know, like the cheering for her when she was in her support slot was crazy. So if you haven't listened to her, definitely do. She was brilliant.
Oh, wow. Looking at the set list, it looks like there's a couple of songs that we don't know on here, which is interesting.
Yeah, so the like I say, the majority of the songs he played were all new ones.
Oh wow.
There were, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 new songs on the set. So almost half the set was all new songs.
That's good news because he's like overdue for a new album. I was kind of wondering if we'd get one just kind of announced, you know, dropped on us unannounced.
Yeah, I think he was saying early next year will be.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what he said. I don't think I've made that up.
That's awesome. Yeah, looking at it, it looks like he leads off with Fletcher's, which I've never heard. There's Bethany, Crumbs, Clayton Man. That's like four songs right there. That's awesome.
Yeah, the new songs are sounding awesome. Really, really good. I'm so excited for this. Especially Crumbs is probably my favorite that I've heard so far. Shamrock seems to be a crowd favorite. He's played that a lot of the times I've seen him recently.
Yeah.
Even earlier in the year, he was playing Shamrock.
We got that at some of the record store stuff that he did here. So
yeah, me and Gaspar are going to see him like a week apart, like coming in the next couple in the next month here, I think.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going November 9th.
Yeah. And I might be like the 16th or something.
To that.
An obvious highlight as well is that he was playing certain songs, which was, again, there wasn't a dry eye in the house when certain songs was being played. And hearing, you know, him singing it just on his own with the guitar as well brings a whole, like, other side to it. On Nottingham, because I'm from Nottingham, so I went with my dad on Sunday night, and he seen the whole study with me when they played in Nottingham, you know, when they did a bunch of in-store shows at Rough Trade. So the Nottingham Rough Trade show, they did one. I took him to that, which he loved. But I think he loved Craig Solo even more. Like all the story, he's big into like storytellers. I think it's just nice having all that like chat in between and understanding the songs that you've been listening to for years better than you did before. But yeah, he really enjoyed it. So I think we've got a Craig convert there.
Great.
So that's the storyteller part of it was basically what the song's about or like how it was written, that type of stuff?
Yeah.
Or was it just stories in general?
Yeah, so for example, nobody on Setlist FM seems to know what the song's called, but
number eight you're looking at there.
All of the presidential candidates in the US have been sending text messages like, we need your support, you know, Craig, blah, 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 blah. But Joe Biden seemed to think that his name was Dana. So he was getting like, Dana, please come and help me, blah, blah. I don't know what these texts are because obviously I've never got them before, but I'm imagining it's like, vote for me, Dana. And he was saying how of all the candidates, Joe Biden's probably the person who wouldn't want to be getting his name wrong. So he wrote a song for Dana, this imaginary, you know, person who doesn't know who it is, which is quite funny. It's just all the songs, you know, we've all heard the Amarillo kid story, you know, he's always like explained that when he plays that one quite a lot. And there were some funny songs, like with Preludes about when he, I know, sorry, it wasn't Preludes, it was, which one is it? Anyway, he told a story about coming back from college to Minneapolis and, you know, bumping into a guy he's not seen for a long time and, you know, he's going, oh yeah, I'm loving college, it's really good, I'm really enjoying English Lit, and then this guy he's not seen for ages was like, oh yeah, dude, like, I'm really good as well, I'm a pimp now. Blah, blah, blah. Like, there were some really fun, like, little tidbits, like, flying around. But, yeah, I don't want to ruin it for you or anyone else. So I don't know if you want to, like, keep this a secret. It was really good. So I think you're going to love it. Another highlight of seeing him was he was playing No Future, which I've never heard him play before. Because judging by Setlist FM, he hasn't played that since 2019. So
that's one of his. I love that song. Yeah. That's a
brilliant song.
When that song was new, there was actually I was at Webster Hall and he was playing with Titus. He opened for Titus and they both had a song out called No Future at the time. And so they each came out and played each other's songs.
I saw him in Minneapolis do that with Titus. Yes, it's amazing. Yeah.
And Kathleen also joined him on Shamrock in London and sang backing vocals, which was really nice. because we've heard Shamrock a lot now, but hearing it with her backing, I think it'll be, I think she is singing on his new record as well, so we're getting more of a glimpse of what the record's going to be like, which is really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's good news that it's coming. All right, well, thank you very much for joining us, Jess. It was great to see you again, and it sounds like you had a great time. And I'm looking forward into talking you into coming to Massive Nights, maybe in 2025.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to need much convincing, but I'm happy for you to take the bullet when I have to explain to my boyfriend that I'm going to New York for the whole study again.
Just bring him.
Yeah.
You can go to a Broadway show while you're there or something.
Oh God, I don't know what he'd prefer. I don't know what he'd hate more, going to see a Broadway show.
All right, Jess, thanks for the great interview. Sorry I couldn't be there, but I will make sure I'm around for your third visit on the Hood Rat Recap podcast. All right, which brings us to Diamonds in the Drain for this episode. And this installment is brought to us by our friends at the Or Is It podcast.
What movies are we talking about?
Or is it the long-lost series ending to The Office?
Or is it why your exes should stay exes?
Find out on the Or Is It movie podcast.
Or is it the Lego movie version for Crayola?
Or is it how not to attract beautiful deaf women?
We're on Spotify, Apple iTunes, and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts.
Or is it Shared Groundhog Day?
Or is it Titty Bouncy the movie?
Which Mike was a guest on, actually.
See? Mike was a guest on that one.
A little north of the border, and we talked a little Smokey and the Bandit. So we talked a nice southern show on the Canadian podcast.
And we want to thank those guys for showing the Hood Rat Recap some love. So I think we should get into Diamonds in the Drain.
There were diamonds in the drain.
Oh, it's everyone's favorite time of the week. It's the Diamonds in the Drain. That was very radio voice of me, wasn't it? Didn't it feel like...
All right. So this is the segment where we roll our 12-sided D&D dice. What does D&D stand for again, Mike?
Diamonds in the Drain.
And we put these tracks up against each other and choose between gold medal, silver medal, and bronze medal. So, all right, let's roll the dice, see what we get.
And we're just doing the first three albums, in case people ask. So we're just pulling from Almost Killed Me, Separation Sunday, Boys and Girls in America. Mm-hmm. What'd you roll there, Mike? I heard the die.
I just rolled a 9. Is that a repeat,
guys? We did
guys?
That last time. That is a repeat. Roll it again.
We got double 9. All right. 7.
Oh, 7 is new.
So 7, guys. This is a new number. So it looks like from Almost Killed Me, we have Hostile Mass.
Okay, it's a good one. We know that's a good one. I'm a fan. What'd you get for Separation Sunday there, G?
So Separation Sunday is going to be Multitude of Casualties.
She drove it like she stole it. She stole it fast and with a multitude of casualties. She said I shipped it out from Boulder. Packed in coffee grounds and wrapped around in dryer sheets. We spent a few months just wandering the Sonoma. High as hell and shivering and smashed. And we were trying for a vision quest. We opened up 3 buttons and all we saw was desert trash.
Ooh. Boy, 7 is tougher than I thought it would be. I'm not going to lie. And for what now becomes the legendary Boys and Girls in America, we have You Can Make Him Like You.
Mm-hmm.
with the dealers. Let your boyfriend deal with the dealers. It only gets inconvenient when you wanna get high alone.
As always, we have an order when we do this, and Mike, you get to go first.
Oh, you guys always make me start. Remember, you know, I just think everybody should play along at home as a drinking game. So every time we say, this is really tough, take a shot. Every time we say, I love all these are all gold medals to me, everybody can take a shot. But for me, this week, not so much. I'm going to go with my gold medal. I think this one's a lot better than, I think it's the strongest, a gold medal by far, is Multitude of Casualties. I mean, that song is just, I love that song. One of the songs that made me fall in love with the Hold Steady. Just gold medal all the way. And then silver medal, and I think these songs all have a pretty big step between them. I'm going to go with Hostile Mass. I mean, that's got some classic. It's got Charlemagne. It's got She Saw Him Gushing Blood. You know, we get gushing blood in so many songs, and this is one of the first times it shows up. We get a lot of Charlemagne in this song. We get the clever kids in this song. So that's my silver medal. And then that leaves for bronze, You Can Make Him Like You. It's a good song. I love singing along to it live. I don't listen to the recorded version that much very often. So that will be my bronze medal. So
All right.
Tough day for boys and girls in America. What do you got, G?
So everybody drink, because yes, I love all three of these songs, and this is really tough. That being said, Hostile Massachusetts for the bronze. It is a great song. It does satisfy my qualification of being part of the storyline. But of the three songs and what you like to hear live, and only by a little bit, because I love hearing this song live, but I would put this in the bronze category. To me, You Can Make Them Like You is the silver, and it's, again, like, this is a quintessential song to a storyline, but it does have that sing-along quality. This is a song you're throwing your hands in the air and you know, you're pointing, like, you don't have to deal with the deal. People love this song, and it is a great song. I will agree with Mike. I would tend to listen to this less off the studio record than these other two, but it is a huge, I want to see this in the set every time. And that leaves Multitude of Casualties as the gold for me, but that's because that song is huge. I mean, that's one of my favorite Hold Steady songs, and it does fit all my criteria. It's a great song. It's a huge sing along song. It's a big part of the storyline. So that's how I see it. What do you got, Kev?
Well, this is a first for today in this episode. Is you and I agree on something. which is the bronze for Diamonds in the Drain. And for me, Hostile Mass is that song. It's a great song.
Why are you guys being so hostile on Hostile Mass?
To hear? Because I'm from New York, and who cares about Mass?
You guys are so hostile. You're so have you ever stayed in a hostel on Hostile Mass?
No, I've never stayed in a hostel. But that said, here's where I tell you both where you're wrong. Because the silver for me is Multitude of Casualties. Love it. Great song. Love to hear it during the sound check events that they do. Always plays well live. But as we talked about, when you go see the band, it's something special. And out of these three songs, You Can Make Him Like You is the standout live performance. And I know we're talking about album tracks, so maybe it's not fair, but my argument is the foundational recording has to be that good to translate live, because they're not really changing it. It's just the vibe. So the skeleton is already there, and the sing-along part and the way that whole riff, and it's one of the biggest jumping moments at a Hold Steady show. So, like, I always look forward to that song. I always want them to play it. We've talked about it in a previous episode. So for me, that is the gold. It's hands down one of my top live All right. Hold Steady songs. So,
all right. So, what is that? What is the scorecard for this?
So, we were all over the place.
We are all over the place today. So, one thing we did all agree on, not really agree, but our bronze medal winner in the Hold Steady Olympics is Hostile Mass. Hey, congratulations.
Why so hostile? Why?
Get over it, Mike. It's not happening. We're not swinging the votes. For silver, which I hope pushes the gold off the pedestal, is you can make him like you. We all disagreed, but that came in with 6 points this week. And then for the overall wonderful gold medal place was Separation Sunday and Multitude of Casualties with 8 points.
All right. So what does that do for our numbers overall on the records?
Oh, man. So it's a very, very interesting thing. And it sort of shows what I've been saying the whole time, because in third place is Almost Killed Me with 33 points. In second place with 41 points is Separation Sunday. And in first place with a whopping 50 points, but it's still only a 9-point difference, is Boys and Girls in America.
All right. How many points are left?
Well, we've only done three. So we've done 7 songs, and there should be 4 left, right? There's 11 on each album. 5 more?
So it's
still anybody's game, but 9 is a lot to make up. I think I predicted Boys and Girls in America early on, and I think I'm going to stand by that on this.
I believe in Sep Sunday.
You can believe all you want. Every time we go through this, I just like to say you guys have your opinions as the diehards, and then I just tell you what's right as the more seasoned, educated fan. Out the bloodstains, she's got diamonds in the drain. She said that she was coming, but she mostly just made hard, fast noises. It kind of sounded like a locust.
All right, those scores are tightening up. We got 5 more, and we'll keep giving you polls on the social media so you guys can vote in and tell us when we're wrong. But I think this has been a jam-packed episode. We waited a long time for this one, so we got to get back and start working on our next episode soon. So why don't you take us out, Kevin?
Yeah, definitely. And it was good to be back and chatting with you guys. If you like what we do this because you guys listen, and we really do appreciate the support. It kind of helps us. And every time we put out an episode, we see the growth. So we really appreciate you guys telling your friends. And give us a like, a follow anywhere. Because really, the reason we do this is because you guys listen and because we all love the same band. So we just always, sometimes we don't say it, but we do want to say thank you guys for listening and giving us the support. And Gas, why don't you tell us where they can find us?
So if you're looking for our socials or prior episodes or anything, Hood Rat Recap, head over to our link tree, which is linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. If you'd like to leave us a voice message like Chase did, Mike, where can we do that?
Yeah, Chase did an awesome job. He recorded several of them because it gives you the 90-second option, but you can leave us a 90-second or as many as you want. And you can just click the link on our show notes, speak into your phone, leave us a voicemail, and you will get to the front of the line and you can be on the next episode.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. I'm Gasper. That's Kevin. That's Mike. That was Chase from Denver and Hurricane Jess from the UK. And us guys and all you guys and gals, we are all the Hood Rat Recap.
Jesus. I'm Batman.
That can be the outcome.
You know what's funny? I was just about to say we don't have something for the tidbit, and you just gave it to us. Welcome. Thank you, Kev. Wardrobe for today's episode provided by the Salvation Army Dropbox under the foosball table in the basement of the 70s and 80s podcast studios.
When you walk through the doors at 70s versus 80s headquarters, you need to be ready to take on the controversial subjects of the 1970s and the 1980s.
Like, for instance, Big Mac versus the Whopper.
Who was the better comedian, Evel Knievel or Super Dave Osborne?
Who did it worse, New Coke or Crystal Pepsi? And we also have hard-hitting discussions. I don't know, Brian. I just always hated that song. Remember the year that Titanic came out and you could just hear that Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On? You could just hear it everywhere.
Yeah, you'd go to the auto parts store, the grocery store, and the proctologist and be playing at all three of them.
The 70s versus the 80s podcast, available everywhere on your beeper. Smartphone.